Evening, church. It has been a little while since I've been up in front of a crowd on a Sunday night. It's good to be back. The last time I was up here, I was teaching on Kevin DeYoung's chapters and book on the sufficiency of Scripture. I would be lying to you today if I said I wasn't nervous, but it is my birthday, and I have a microphone, right? So I'm not doing too terribly bad. Right. But as such, join with me again in prayer, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everyone who came here this evening to make hearing your word a priority in their life, Lord. Be with me now as I share the gospel, share your word. Help me to have clarity of mind and clarity of heart. Help my words to be concise and clear, Father. Just let everything that I do and say here tonight be honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. We're going to be in the 12th chapter this evening. Or you can turn your Bible on and scroll to the book of Romans. Beginning in verse 1, the 12th chapter of Romans. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same functions in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members of another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity, leading with diligence, showing mercy and cheerfulness. Romans 12, 1 through chapter 15, verse 13 is what D.A. Carson refers to as the transforming power of the gospel, and that is our Christian conduct. I've given a lot of thought on this topic. I've thought on it for quite some time. I've given the thought of what I would like to say, given the opportunity to be in prayer for consideration of a sermon or what it is I would like to say this evening. Pastor Ben gave me the opportunity to choose my own topic, and I'm grateful for that, and I was all too happy to begin in Romans 12. This section, the transforming power of the gospel, is describing the last major section of the body of Romans that sets forth general principles and some specific applications to the gospel. The gospel provides not only salvation from God's wrath, but also the power to live changed lives. Christ simply cannot be our Savior without being our Lord. Verse 1, again, to offer our bodies or your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In this context, we need to recognize the key to spiritual living is not getting all that you can get from God, but instead, it's giving all that you can give to God. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 makes a statement to this effect as he wrote in verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. I applied this in my own review of how I perceive my own growth spiritually, as a man, as a leader, as a teacher, as a husband, as a father. Am I doing all that God called upon me to do? Am I acting as that royal priesthood? I hung on the words from verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I thought about Philippians 4, 8. Amy's often left this verse in places for me to read and find. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. There are many challenges to us in this broken and sinful world that attempt to draw our attention away from what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Further attempts to draw us away from the body of Christ and serves to distract us in ways that we often don't think of or consider. Like many of you, I scroll through social media. I enjoy sports. I grew up a sports fan. And my own personal way of thinking of things was kind of shaped by the way that I looked at sports. Right? So if you like this team, then you don't like this team. Now we are drawn to this argument of position. Right? You can agree or disagree, and that agreement or disagreement puts you into a column, or it puts you into a category. And based on that perception of that category, you're either completely correct, or as the other side would look at you, completely wrong. It's easy to get drawn into arguments, to say something inflammatory in the heat of the moment, to comment before the facts are made and known, whatever the position you take, whatever argument you're in. The answer for the Christian person, the answer for us, should be a clear one. God, Christ, the Scriptures, God's inspired Word, that is our direction. That is the side that we take. For every person that disagrees with us and does not believe the way that we do is one more person that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more person that needs to hear about salvation and the love of the Lord. Our lives are our calling cards. And that command to be as a living sacrifice, to give all that we have to give the Lord, is our command. To those who disagree with us, to reconcile with our brothers and sisters in Christ in times of disagreement, to honor God with our lives on a daily basis despite that uncountable distractions that are presented to us in this world, and the desires of conformity. At times, our words fail us. I'm guilty of that. We throw out that zinger that we inevitably have to apologize for. With the most dangerous of weapons, we have the ability to save a soul for the Lord. With our choice of words, we also have the power to completely and utterly destroy our witness if we don't guard closely what comes out of our mouths. You can spend all day listening to things that distract people from the gospel. When Amy and I were a young couple, I had this dream that our kids were going to be great athletes. Of course, I was a mediocre athlete as a kid, so that equation means that my kids are going to be awesome athletes, right? Because that's just how that works, right? So, when Olivia was born, I wanted her to play soccer because I like soccer, so she should like soccer. Then as Liam and Finley were born and Olivia got a little older, Liam started to play some sports. I realized, and at least my eyes were open to this great distraction, that the thing that I love, the thing that I grew up doing and love so dearly, was, as a parent, in many ways, a distraction. I watch as families spend thousands of dollars to travel the country and play travel sports. They spend weekend after weekend away from home and forsaking the fellowship of weekly church service. I used to think that's what I wanted, and now I don't really honestly care if my kids play sports. My main concern is that they grow up to be lovers of Christ, that they thirst to know more of the Word, and that their lives are the epitome of Romans 12:1. I'd rather my son grow up to be a leader of hundreds of people, leading them to Christ and boldly proclaiming the Word of God wherever it is that God calls him to obediently go, than I would ever hope that he would be proficient and good as striking or kicking a ball. As some of you know, I teach criminal justice at Vincennes University. I read a study recently that found that being a college kid today is tougher than at any point in the history of university education. And the reason for that is that the amount of distraction that the average college kid has in his or her life, even more so than when Amy and I were there, you know, 98 to 2002. TV, phones, social media, gaming, all leads the student away or distracts them from the sole function that they are at university for in the first place. We misplace or misconstrue our levels of importance. We're lax in our teaching and training at times, and it's easy for us to get lazy. We need to pray for these things. Pray often, continuously, and that we move away from what is described in 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Move away from the things that distract you. Recognize them. Remove them from your lives. I haven't watched 2 minutes of NFL football this year, and you know what? I haven't honestly missed a single bit of it. It wasn't easy at first to choose not to watch it, but I found that I disagreed on a personal level with what they were doing or not doing, and that I didn't even enjoy watching it whenever I found myself turning it on. You know what I found myself doing on Sunday afternoons instead? Was reading. I picked up books. I picked up our men's club book. I picked up other things I like to read. I started reading the scripture more, seeking to know more about my Lord and to grow, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Looking at verses 3 through 8, in this section of the text is describing the humble service in the body of Christ. Those who are being transformed through the renewing of their minds will refrain from thinking too highly of themselves or recognizing the gifts of others, as pastor and author D.A. Carson says. As I said earlier, I was given the opportunity to teach a six-week course from Kevin DeYoung on the sufficiency of scriptures. It was my first venture into teaching a Bible series, but it was not the first time that I taught. It was just a different experience for me on a personal level. When I came to that juncture, I'd been dealing with what, in my mind, was a pretty extended and rather unpleasant season of trial. I didn't know what God had in store for me, but I started to pray directly about the direction of my own life. Where did God want me to go? What did he want me to do? I started to pray that God would use me in whatever way he wanted and that I wouldn't say no to what he had in store for me. And ask and you shall receive. I had longed to play guitar since I was in grade school. I always wanted to play. I didn't have parents who placed any emphasis on music education, so I did what most 30-year-olds don't do and have the time to do, and I taught myself how to play the guitar. When prompted by Ben, despite having the desire to play songs in church and looking at songs and singing to my computer a lot, my answer to being asked to play was usually a resolute no. Then my heart started to change, and I agreed to play, and the rest is history. We all have gifts, the ability to serve, the ability to teach, the ability to encourage. But how often do we say no to what God has clearly put into our path? I never set out to become the song leader. It was just God's will. And I stopped saying no. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members, or these members, do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. My song leading, my teaching, my speaking, it is only but a minuscule part of what makes the church a church. I tried to make this point when I took one of the teaching modules at our first men's retreat, and I don't recall my exact words, but the point was this. Together we are the body of the church, and despite the fact that I serve in this role or that role, I watch. And I see and I listen to what those of you around me are doing. I watch the way that you care for my children and the way that you teach them. I listen to the constructive criticism that I've received when I've taught and when I've played music, because I know that the people who have given these opinions and instructions have my best interest in mind and want to see me get better. I pay attention to things that people don't always realize that they're doing and think, man, that's a place that I can get better. We are the body of Christ. In the same respect, though, we have people that are, for one reason or another, not willing to say yes to God's work, whether it be because they feel they aren't good enough, which they typically are, or that they don't know enough, which they typically do. It's our job as the body of Christ to cultivate those relationships and encourage those people to do what they probably know they should do, what they already know they can do. A couple weeks ago, we had Chelsea Scheiber. She came up and sang with us. And she was as scared to sing as the first time that I got up there to sing, and she was petrified. And when we talked to her afterwards, she talked about how horrible she was, and she wasn't going to do it. She wasn't suited to sing. And the honest truth was, and everyone told her this, she did beautifully. She used her gift. We had to poke and prod her a little bit, but she agreed to come back, and she agreed to do it again. And that's the point. John 12:26, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. There is honor in serving the Lord. We are called to serve the Lord. We are called to use our gifts and lift up the name of the Most High. In this, there is no finish line. There is no retirement age. We are called to use the gifts that we have been blessed with to bless others. In our example, we encourage and move people to do more with their talents. I pray for this church often. I pray for you often. Who are the people that you know that you can encourage to use their gifts? What gifts are you not using? Do not be afraid of these things. If I can stand in this pulpit and profess the word of God, then surely you can use your gifts as well. There is nothing special about me. I am just a man after God's heart. I want to see his will done in my life. I want to see his will done in my family's life. I want to see his will done in you and yours as well. I don't want there to be a time when I say no to the Lord and fail to do what he is clearly calling for me in my life, regardless of what that is or how scary that gets. I want to close this evening with a story of faithfulness, what it means to submit yourselves to the Lord, to display your faith, to use your gifts, to not be conformed to the world, and to live out your faith. I heard this story at the Association for Certified Biblical Counselors National Conference, which I was blessed to be able to go with Pastor Logan. And I would have to admit, if you asked me before I went, I wasn't sure that I was going to take a lot from this. I didn't know what I was going to get out of it. I wasn't sure that biblical counseling was something that I wanted to take up. But I took away from it quite a few lessons, as I've taken away lessons from every conference that I've been to. Unintended lessons in leading of worship, studying, counseling people. But there was a story that absolutely moved me, and it was in the pre-conference portion of the speakers. A pastor from North Carolina told a story about his regular Sunday evening worship. It was a common practice at this church to go around the congregation, and they would have a time of praise and prayer. They had been counseling two young couples, both couples of which were struggling to have children. And as they counseled and prayed with and spoke to these couples, they came in one Sunday night, went around the room, and they asked, "Are there any praises or any prayer requests that we can take up this evening?" And in the back of the room, a hand shot up. And they went to this young man, and he stood at the back of the crowd, and he said, I have a praise this evening. And that praise is, my wife and I are pregnant. And a round of applause came from the crowd because everyone knew their struggle. Everyone knew what they were going through. And he stood and he praised God for his goodness, and he praised God for answered prayers. And then when he got done, he was standing there and he realized God had not answered yet the prayers of the other couple. And he was starting to feel bad about boasting and being proud of the fact that God had answered this prayer. So it was their custom in the evening that somebody from the congregation would go and lead the prayer, which, by the way, is a cool idea, right? So somebody, one of y'all, would get up and go over to this couple, and they would lay hands on and they would pray for this person. And there was a hand that shot up on the side of the room, and a young man stood up and he said, I would like to lead in prayer. Young man walks over to this couple, and as you could probably guess by now, it was the couple that was not pregnant and had been struggling all this time to get this. And he walked over and he put his hands on this couple, and he stood fighting back the tears as he thanked God for his sovereignty and his goodness. Praised God for that blessing. That's the kind of Christian that I want to be. That's the kind of faith that I want to display. Guys like John Curtis, right, as Ben told us about last week, who said, what choice do I have that Christ has been with me and helped me through all these difficult times to trust in the Lord when times get tough and when they're good? Guard your hearts, beloved. Do not be conformed to the temptations of this world. Utilize those wondrous gifts that the Lord has blessed you with. To teach the next generation and disciple them is an honorable work. Right, Rosemary's here tonight. Right. What was the name of the girl that you led to Christ a couple years ago? She was 18. She sang in the choir with us. Yeah. So, at all ages, we can all relate. We all have the ability to share the gospel of Christ with one another and to lead people to the Lord. It's Christ's work, and it's Christ's will, it's God's will for us to do these things and to lead in this way. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time to be able to speak, to talk about using our gifts for you. to not be conformed to the world, to not do the things that tempt us. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I praise that you're omniscient and omnipresent, that you know us, Father. You know our hearts. You know our will. I pray that this church would be a church that loves and serves and honors you, that your will would be done here, Father. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.